the beginning of Nusugya. Usually, when you learn Luchos Bracha, so you take the attitude, well, if we can't figure out what bracha to make, let's just wash. Wash, you know you're going to be covered. So, the truth to be told, that is not always the case. But the sugya that we're about to bump into now definitely highlights the fact that that is not always the case. That there are foods that are actually not covered by the suit, they're not covered by the bracha b'motzi. So, although our starting point is you make hamotzi, you're having a suda, everything is part of that suda, not so simple. The Gemara develops the yisod that there are certain kinds of foods that are what we call dvar mavoy machmas suda. They are considered to be food or meal-oriented foods, and they are covered by the bracha b'motzi. And there are other foods that are not. And now it becomes just really our job to try to fine-tune those different categories. What is and what is not. What is and what is not bisman chazal. How this plays out for us bisman hazeh. Let's take a look at the first of the mamakabos. The Gemara begins with itmar. Hevil lifneim te'enim ve'anav besochas uda. Fruit, figs and grapes are brought to a person in the middle of the suda. What do? You have to make a new bracha or they're covered by the hamotzi. So amar abuna te'unim bracha lifneim ein te'unim bracha chareim. So Rav Huna says that it depends which bracha you're talking about. If you're talking about the bracha Rishona, reciting a bar per eights on them, then the answer is yes, they do require a bracha before you. They're not covered by the Motzi, but they are covered by the benches. They're hard for us to understand. Either they're part of the meal, they're not part of the meal. Rav Huna is making a difference between bracha Rishona and bracha Chrona. Chenem Rav Nachman to the bracha Lefneim, and bracha Chrona, and Rav Nachman said the same thing. Rav Sheshes Amar to Unim bracha Bein Lefneim, Bein Lecharem. And Rav Sheshes disagreed. And he said, no, it's not true that you would require a bracha both before and afterwards. So Machlokes Amoraim, what are the details of these foods that some are not quite part and parcel of the Suda? But now the part that interests us the most is the conclusion of the Gemara. So let's skip down a little bit to the third line from the bottom. Amra Papa Hilchasa. The Gemara says the magic word Hilchasa, so we know this is going to be the final word. So what is that, Lava? So Rav Papa tells us a very, very complicated, almost a three-pronged halacha. Those foods that are called boy machmas asuda, they come about because of the meal. Again, I'm very, very careful to be very vague as to give examples of those foods yet. But category number one, says Rav Papa, foods that come machmas asuda, besoch asuda, that are being eaten in the middle of the suda, ain't the bracha lo lefnei v'lo acharei. No bracha is recited at all on category number one. So behind door number one is the by machmas suda, besoch suda, whatever those two terms mean. Those of us are covered. But what if shalom machmas suda, besoch suda? What if the foods that you're eating are not meal oriented foods, but you're eating them besoch suda? You're eating them in the middle of the meal. What's their status? To unim bracha lefnei, ain't to unim bracha acharei. Those kinds of foods require a bracha rishona, but not a bracha chorona. Again, we have not yet defined them properly. We for sure have not given modern day illustrations yet. We're just highlighting the different categories bisman chazal. So, category number one is the real super duper total food meal oriented foods that are covered entirely. Then there's the middle category that's covered vis a vis bracha chorona, not bracha rishona, and la'achasuda. There are other kinds of foods that are eaten after the meal is over. They require a bracha both before as well as a bracha afterwards. So birchas hamazon isn't going to exempt those foods. So we have three categories. Halavai today, we can make a siman on category number one. So let's take case by case, category number one. Let's focus on what Rav Papa taught us, the dvar maboy machmas asuda b'soch asuda. So let's take a look at the second of the Marmakamos, where Tosfos quotes Rashi and then immediately takes Rashi to task. So Tosfos says, Hilchas advar b'masochu b'aksuda, pirish hakuntres, lelafes b'hen es hapas, ein te'unim bracha, davlu tfeila. So Rashi, both defines what the foods are, it gives even a little bit of an illustration of the foods, and then explains to the rationale. So we're looking for category number one, foods that are the ultimate meal foods, the ultimate foods that are covered both from Bracha Chashona and Bracha Chrona. Rashi says the magic words, lelafes behenes hapas. Foods that are eaten to accompany bread, the lafas, almost literally like to shmir on, like to put on foods that go on top of the bread proper. So, for example, a sandwich, person makes a tuna sandwich. So the bread, you recite hamotzi on. The tuna fish is the lafish is a pas. It's coming to be shmir on the bread. It's coming to accompany the bread. So with those kinds of foods, ain to unim bracha, you do not have to make a separate bracha on the tuna fish. Neither a bracha rishona nor a bracha fash on the tuna fish. The hamotzi on the bread patas bracha rishona. The bichsamozon on the bread patas the bracha chron as well. That's the one with the lafish the pas. It probably doesn't have to be as crystal clear as a tuna fish sandwich. I'm not sure whether Rashi actually ate the sandwiches, but any food that comes literally accompanying the bread. So a person, let's say, sitting down shalom shudas, and you eat a challah roll, take a little bite of gefilte fish, another bite of the challah roll, another piece of gefilte fish, that's probably also called the lafas and the pas. So those kinds of foods that generally are there to accompany bread are covered with the bracha on the bread. What is the rationale for that? The Rashi explained to us, tavlu tfeila, because after all, the foods that are coming, the lafas and the pas, are by definition going to be tafel, they're going to be secondary to the pas itself. So here Rashi is referencing a Mishnah that appears a little bit later on in the second brachas, the principle called ika v'tafel. One of the rules that governs the brachas are the rules called ika v'tafel. The Mishnah says we need two foods together, so you recite a bracha on the main food, and that exempts the secondary food. Now, that statement, ika v'tafel, itself is a loaded statement. Hopefully, we're going to talk about that. We'll see how far we get this year in terms of sugyas, but a little bit later on in case of a barchin, that the sugya of ika v'tafel itself is a whole series of different rules. There are different types of ika v'tafels. One of the examples of ika v'tafel that the Mishnah, the Gemara gives a little bit later on is that a person is eating food A and eating food B, and he absolutely is not interested in eating food B. He has zero desire to eat food B. The only reason why he's eating food B is because food A left a very tough taste, whether it's a very salty taste, very bitter taste, very sharp taste. He's trying just to kind of tone down that taste a little bit. He never on his own independently would have eaten food B. So food B is coming to serve the results of food A. That's the ultimate ika v'tafel. And it's in that context that the Gemara makes a startling statement that even bread can sometimes be tafel. Usually we think in our mind, bread. How can bread be tafel? The Gemara says if you have some very, very salty foods and plotting from the salt, from the herring, you just want to kind of tone it down a little bit. You take a slice of bread, that bread is tafel to the herring. That's like the ultimate ikum tafel. Most ikum tafel shahs that we have today are the secondary kinds of ikum tafel that the Rishon Shabbat explained. Let's say you have, I want to eat both foods. I'm very, very happy to eat both foods, but one food is the key. One food is the mainstay of what I'm eating. Why is that one food the mainstay? Because it could be that I really want both, but one is there to serve the other. So suppose a person takes French fries and ketchup. So except maybe my kids were little, they used to sit. They would have croutons. Okay. Croutons are very, very tricky. Croutons are very, very...
Hey. But that would be a perfect example that the purpose of croutons is only to give texture and to the salad. It's not, cooking.
That's a very, I may have to question your salad, on that, depending on the croutons. So if those croutons are onion, garlic croutons, so I don't know about that. But just to give texture, so then you just put in a piece of, they're very bland. I don't know. I'm not so sure. It's very possible that the croutons are also there for the purpose of taste. So that's not so simple.
It's like the taste with the fish and the bread. Meaning the taste is forget about the wholesome things that kids eat by the handful. But real croutons, no one really is eating croutons as a food. I'm not talking about the wholesome.
If that would be the case, then maybe one could argue that the croutons are buffalo. Maybe.
The other ones are probably the yellow ones.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Okay, I don't know. We'll have to wait for the details of ikum tafel. But sometimes you have situations in ikum tafel where I very, very much want to eat. I want to eat both foods. I want french fries and I want ketchup. And the only thing is that my mainstay is you don't walk into a store and say, I'd like to get a bowl of ketchup. I'll throw in a couple of french fries for good luck. You can ask for the french fries, and then maybe you throw the ketchup in. It's not even clear what the bracha and the ketchup is. Even if you need ketchup itself, it's not so posh what the bracha would be. I remember years ago, there was something on the news that the city was trying to cut down on some of the school lunches a little bit, trying to shave off a couple of dollars, save a few dollars. So they had to provide, apparently, like legally, two vegetables or something a day. So they wanted to count ketchup as a vegetable. That was the chesed. So remember when I heard that was a big question of his brachas. Can you do ketchup? Is it really fundamentally tomatoes or is it really padam chadash balikah? But anyway, so there are a lot of details of ilchas to ikim and tafel. Hopefully, again, we'll get to it as we go on. Oh, okay. So we're gonna see. Rashi and Tosfos have different definitions now. We're gonna see as we go along. So. According to Rashi, this sugya, Dvar Rachman Suda, is a cousin to the sugya of Ikka Matachal. We're going to see as we go on, the Taisa is going to try to separate between the two. So let's take a look at Rashi first before we move on to the modern illustrations to figure out what Rashi is, and that's it. Again, so Rashi comes and tells us two important points in the sugya. Rashi says, I'm going to define for you what Dvar Rachman Suda and Suda are. And basically, you know that you have one if you're eating it lalafis by the sapas. The lalafis bas can either mean literally together or almost together, but the goal of the food is clearly a smearing on bread kind of food. And Rashi says the reason why that's called bar machsasuta is because of the principle of ikka v'tafel. According to Rashi, an unbelievable chiddush is going to come out. I think it's going to be passed like this, but according to Rashi, what if it's a food that it's a very main part of the food, but I'm not eating with the bread? The bottom line is it's part of the meal. It's on the menu. Everybody knows that I'm eating it because I'm sitting down to eat lunch, sitting down to eat my Shabbos meal. But it's not bought the lav as a pas. So I'll give you a few examples of things that are clearly not the lav as a pas. Kugel, there you go. A bowl of cholent. Probably most of your main dish on Shabbos are not bought the lav as a pas. So according to Rashi, wait a second. If it doesn't have that magic, those magic words, lav as a pas, then it's not covered by the bracha of Amotzi. So I'll tell you a secret. In Ochinami, according to Rashi, our brachas look very, very different than Rashi. According to Rashi, you sit down at a regular Shabbos meal. All the food that you're eating, which is not Lalav Zabas, is not covered by the Amotzi. You have to make a regular bracha on your cholent, on your kugel, on your chicken, on your salad. Anything you're eating in a Shabbos meal, short of Lalav Zabas, is not covered. Now, Bizman Chazal and probably Bizman Rashi, there wasn't all that much that you were eating. Generally, your meal was bread, and then whenever you can scrounge around to kind of accompany the bread. There's a reason why the Torah says Ki lo al lechem levad the yichyeh adam, because people do generally live on bread alone. So in Bizman Rashi, it wasn't so complicated. But today, a person sits down at an 18-course dinner, and every single food is not bar machsasuda. So for the Rashi, like a bracha and everything. We'll see Rashi, the finisher of Bavakas Suda. So again, we'll see as we go on, but Rashi Sheik is really a Das Yochid. But Tosfos takes Rashi to task for the following. Tosfos says, wait a second. If that's what Chazal meant, that is the official first category of foods that are covered by the meal, covered by the bread. So Tosfos says, wait a second. Loni Hiver, the second line, the second commandment goes, Loni Hiver, says Tosfos. It doesn't appear to be correct. What do I need for a papa? Papa's an Amira, Tamar and Rabba, four generations later, to wake up and start to tell us, oh, by the way, if you're eating gefilte fish together with your challah, here's my chiddush, hilchasa, you don't have to make a bracha. Pshita, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the mevarach ala ikka, mepayit teres hatfeka, my kamash v'lan. He says, what's the chiddush? What in the world was your papa mechadish does? Second question tells us, says the old question, the parach b'samach, Yayinami Niftere Pas. We're going to get to this sugya, which I'm next sugya to, where the Gemara begins to discuss different beverages that are or are not covered by bread. So the Gemara has a question that, according to what you just said, that Dvar Maboy Machmas Asuda should be covered by the bread. So then wine should be covered by bread also. And the Gemara begins to discuss why that is or is not true. Manishtana, why is wine different that's actually not covered by the Hamotzi? But the Gemara thought that wine should have fallen into the first category of Dvar Mabay Machas Asuda. So it says Tosu, my kasha, look, she shows it a yayin, ain't a tefillah lepas. It says, if Rashi's right, that the only foods, the only items that are covered by the Hamotzi are literally only the gefilte fish with the challah roll, only the tuna on the challah roll, only the egg salad on the challah roll. Those are the only kinds of foods, nothing else. So why was the Gemara having such a chat about wine? The Gemara says, wine, ooh, wine is b'machas asur, the wine should be covered. Tosfos says, yeah, not remediating the tuffle of the pas, maybe not. So Tosfos goes out on a limb for Rashi. The aim of forest for Beisha Kudrish, they tell you in advance, don't say this. I feel bad. Why are we saying it? If Tosfos not saying it, we have to understand what not to say. So Tosfos says, don't say according to Rashi, yayin if to a pas, kishishor repito b'yeno k'amar. Maybe what the Gemara means is, if you're dipping your challah into a cup of wine, that's the Gemara we're talking about. That would be the parallel. Tosfos says, come on. That's not the challah Gemara. So Tosfos says, we don't understand Rashi. We don't understand my kamash blood of a papa. Why do we need the mayor of papa hundreds of years later to tell us the basic halacha of Ikum B'Tafel? And the second bomb cash against Rashi is the whole flow of Oshak B'Tayah the Gemara about wine seems to be out of place according to Rashi, if the only category itself is talking about Dvar Mabayim, Lelaf is Sepas. So what is Pshat and Shittas Rashi? Okay, even though we don't possibly like Rashi, Rova, Rishon, Tosfos, Shporoch go against Rashi, but still, Rashi, we have to understand Rashi. What happened Rashi give that first category? What happened to Tosfos' questions? So the Rishonim tried to solve his riddles according to Rashi, and in doing so, open ourselves up for a major Lumdish question about not only this sugya itself, but how this relates to the sugya of Ikum B'Tafel. So let's take a look at the third of the Maramakamos, the Baal Ma'or.
So Rashi doesn't resolve. Tosfos rejects
Rashi. Tosfos is going to change the facts of the Gamri. Tosfos is going to make a whole other first category out of this. But what is Pshat? What is the Bir Adav B'Das Rashi? Let's take a look at the Baal Ma'or, the third of the Maramakamos. So Amar Papa, Hilchos Advarim Boi Machasu, the Perush, the lafis elam is a pass. Ain't doing bracha for the chareim. So the Baal Ma'or just goes in sync with Rashi's pshat. The im toimer, my kamash malon masdisin. Same exact question as Tosfos. Zak klal kosher ikum with tefila bracha ikum potes a tefila. Says the Baal Ma'or, unlike Tosfos who rejected Rashi because of this question. Says the Baal Ma'or tzricha. No. I need rav papa. The papa is not superfluous. The ibim masdisin. If it would have only been the mishnah, I would have said as follows. Hava mina. Hani mili bedava shaboy mapas, the chiborich arifta havidaita alay nami. Of al hocha de be idna de borach bechas amotzi, akati lo aisu kamei hara dvar arwa maksuda, lo vidaita alay bishas bracha meyolam, eima li boy bracha metchila. So Baal Ma'or makes your whole shikotar hafamina. Says the Baal Ma'or, if you look very carefully, Rapapa, our sugya, is not identical to the Mishnah of Ikum. It's similar but not identical. The case of the Ikum B'Tafel is, I have a piece of bread in front of me, I have the tuna fish on the bread already, I'm looking at the tuna fish, I'm looking at the bread, I make a motzi, the motzi pot is both. That's classic Ikum B'Tafel. Or the mushroom, leaving out bread for a moment. Classic Ikum B'Tafel, I have my bowl of raisin bread, I have milk inside the bowl, I take a spoonful, I look at the raisin bran, I look at the milk, I make a mizonos. The mizonos pot is the milk. Says the Baal Ma'or, that's not what's happening over here. Over here, a person sits down to the meal, they make a motzi. What happens afterwards? I'm nibbling away a little piece of bread, and then they bring out some fish. Yeah, we have some gefilte fish. Oh, yeah, I don't know if gefilte fish was on the menu. Takes a little gefilte fish, puts some of the gefilte fish onto his challah roll, starts to eat it. Says the Baal Ma'or, wait, hold the phone. Tosfos Ikum B'Tafel. Said at the time that you made the bracha on the Ikur, you didn't even know the Tafel was coming. So if I just had a Mishnah in Brachas later on that says, Koshiro Ikur B'Tafel, so the Tafel is always bubbled to the Ikur, I would have thought the whole parasha of those Sugim Ikum B'Tafel only makes sense when you're talking about that the Tafel was there Bishas HaBracha. But if the Tafel came afterwards, all bets are off. That's not called Ikum B'Tafel. Kamash Malon, says the Baal Ma'or. That's also called Ikum B'Tafel. That's the Chiddush of Rav Papa. Ikum B'Tafel is not limited to when the Tafel was there, Bishas Bracha. Ikum B'Tafel can cover even foods that are later. That was the punchline of Rav Papa. So now we have to analyze this Baal Ma'or. The Gemara uses the phrase, may carve myself or soak myself. What did we think Ikum B'Tafel was? but what did we erroneously think Mitofa was, and what was Rapop Mechadish to us that it correctly is? Why would I have thought one way, and why does the conclusion the other way? What should it be? What should it be? Forget the Malmo, forget Rashi, forget Aristotle. I would just ask you, we have a din of Ikum Mitofa. Does Ikum Mitofa necessitate that the Tofa be present B'Shas Baruch or not? What should that depend upon? So the Chazanish in Hilchos Brachos raised the following basic question, a fundamental question about this very din of Ikum Mitofa. Because again, according to Rashi, Ikum Mitofa is the engine that's driving the sukkah. According to Tosfos, we're learning the wrong sukkah. But according to Rashi, Ikum Mitofa is very, very much a part of this sugya of Dvar Goy Bacha Sudah. Says the Chazanish, one can understand the principle of Ikum Mitofa really one of two ways. Either one can understand that Ikum Mitofa means when you have a food that's tofel, it's botel. It's negligent. It's not really there. We disregard it. That kind of a food that's so tofel, so insignificant, it doesn't require bracha in the first place. Normally we say, bracha. You're not allowed to eat anything without getting making your bracha. Not true. You're not allowed to eat anything. But this is not an anything. This is a garnish. This is a nothing. This is bottle of vutlo shavuot. You can evoke your imagery from here. Kiafa the hour. This doesn't really exist. When you have something that's so tough, it's so insignificant in terms of what you're planning on eating, it never warranted a bracha in the first place. Well, maybe you have the wrong shot, darling, says the Chazanish. What you think the tough means is that normally Chazal and Misake, that there are specific foods require specific brachas. I can't make a bird per eight on a piece of chicken. Chicken didn't grow in the tree. I can't make a mitzi lechem in oretz on a carrot. It's not lechem in oretz, but it's not lechem in oretz. So there are certain brachas that just don't make sense. They just don't fit. We've seen in the past there are certain brachas that b'dievet fit. If I make a bar per adoma on an apple, b'dievet, it's a true statement. It wasn't what I was supposed to do, b'dievet it's okay. Make shahako on a slice of pizza, that wasn't what was supposed to happen, but it's a true statement, shahako on every bar. So there are the lechetchila brachas, there are the b'dievet brachas, and then the brachas that are just absurd. They're not even b'dievet. If I make the hamotzi on the carrot, it's the mishkin lechem in aretz, so it's obviously not going to be chal. But what Ikum Mitofa means is that if the bracha is tofes, the bracha takes effect on the main food, then that bracha can kind of schlep along. The other foods kind of get dragged along with the primary food. So it's not pshat that there's no bracha on the primary food, on the secondary food. Get it? How can you put food to your mouth without making a bracha? Every food that you eat, also has an assembly bracha. You have to make a bracha on. But if the bracha dictates that when you make a bracha on the ikar, the secondary food gets covered by the primary bracha, even though, catch this, it's the wrong bracha, even though it's the quote-unquote wrong bracha, even though it's not a bracha that would independently stand on its own, but it's batel vis-a-vis the first food to the extent that it's covered by the first bracha. So my nefkamina, very fancy, a thousand, thousand lumbus. My nefkamina, when you say there's no bracha necessary on the tafel, or there is a bracha necessary, it's just that it's covered by the first. So comes the Chazanir says, this is the point of contention. This is the Nakuda. What's the question?
It's an interesting point, because if you could enter into the Suda and don't know what you can eat, say a shakal, you basically handle everything by just saying the shakal. But then we're saying amotzi, which is sort of like...
Well, the problem is because amotzi isn't the real bracha. It's not the right bracha. So shakal is the evidence for everything. Amotzi is not, quote unquote, the evidence for everything. If I make a mochi on a carrot, I'm not yet. That's making a double. Comes the Chazanish and says, this
does the tafel still have to? Does tafel still have to be lafit at a pot? According to the Balmo.
Wait. Hold on. Again. Let's just get the Chazanish's chakira and then kind of plug it in. Comes the Chazanish and says, if you hold the first shot that tafel doesn't need brachas, which end of discussion. Tafel doesn't need a bracha. So tafel doesn't need a bracha. What's the difference whether the tafel was there b'shas bracha or the tafel comes in an hour later? If at the end of the day, right now, when I'm putting it into my mouth, it's serving as a tafel, so it doesn't require a bracha. So what do I care whether I had in mind at the beginning, when the bracha was chalon, it was in front of me, I knew it's coming, didn't know it's coming, none of that matters. A tafel doesn't need a bracha. It's eating the air, it's a kaf in the air, it doesn't require a bracha. Oh, to be able to second chat, the tafel doesn't require a bracha. Tafel is exempted by the primary bracha. Oh, wait a second. You want to use a bracha to exempt foods? We have rules that the halachas are. That a bracha could pot to other things. If you had in mind, it was in front of you, you knew it was coming. There are different klolim as to when we say one bracha pots, I think, the person makes, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, a person makes a bar piyagof and a cup of wine. There's absolutely no intent of having more wine later. There's the bottle of wine is either on the table, and then 20 minutes later, decides to have another cup of wine, he has to make a new bracha. Means you can't, a bracha doesn't stay alive forever. A bracha relates to those things that you basically, your das is going to be take effect on those other fruits. There's the chazanish. If you go the second route, that the bracha of the ikar is b'siacheses, it relates to the tofel, then there are guidelines that go for it as to when it has to be there. That's exactly what's going on in the sugya, says the chazanish. According to the Balamor, the Mishnah in Brachas is not all inclusive. The Mishnah is talking about a very, very specific Ikebet Tafel where the Tafel's there. So one could have argued, as a Havamina, Ikebet Tafel only makes sense under those circumstances when the secondary food is there because your Das is on it, comes by the first Bracha. Kamash for one, if there's a din of Ikebet Tafel even later. Kamash v'lanu papa, that even though you had no intent about the kifotish, you didn't even know this kifotish coming around the bend, it doesn't matter. You don't have to make a bracha that kifotish going to rash, because that's also called ikmetafel, because ikmetafel means the secondary food is ki'afa di'ara. So why did Tarsus say, it's a great shikotar, why did Tarsus reject Rashi? Says the Chazish, that's exactly why Tarsus rejected Rashi. Tarsus rejected Rashi because they held there is no secondary bit of ikmetafel. They held that ikmetafel only means that bracha A, Patas food B, but if food B wasn't there, that wouldn't be Ikebet Tafel. You can't invoke Ikebet Tafel in a case where you didn't have that proper das. The food B wasn't in front of you. So it comes out, now it's a major machlekes that we showed in Taisus Balmor, and Rashi was getting into the fray, a machlekes about Ikebet Tafel. What's the lumbus of Ikebet Tafel? And Afkamin Ladin in terms of Ikebet Tafel. So everything we've been talking about up to now is to defend Shikas Rashi, who said the pshat that we don't postulate. Rashi lives pshat in Arash Suga, Barbaruch Suga, as an extension, as a corollary, part two of Ikebet Tafel. Hopefully, that's next week. We'll pick up Shikas HaTosis, which is the view of Rosh Hashanah, but that is not, in fact, the case. That the Sugya Dvar Baruch Hu is something totally, totally different. But with Shem, we'll try to iron out some of the details.
Tori Sablosky.
So it depends. So if you're the balabas, then yeah. But if you're not, then you can rely on whoever the balabas is. If your wife is the balabas, you can rely on her. That's also called das. So you need somebody else's das. I'm sorry, Zabu.
So according to this idea, the lafi in a pa is not literal necessarily.